Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the April-May issue of Audiophile magazine. On today's program, you'll hear our feature, Behind the Mic, this time talking with narrator Nicholas Bolton. We'll finish our reviews in fiction before starting reviews in classics and drama, including a review of The Year of Magical Thinking by Joan Didion. It's an Earphones winner, read by Vanessa Redgrave. Let's get right to it. Actor and narrator Nicholas Bolton joined host Joe Reed to discuss his narrations of classics, historical romances, and more. Nick's narration of Dickens's David Copperfield is the star of Audiophile's new podcast, Audiobook Break. This is an excerpt. You can hear the full conversation in a bonus episode of Behind the Mic with Audiophile magazine. Josephine Reed. How do you prepare to narrate a book as monumental as David Copperfield or Nicholas Nickleby with so many characters? Nick Bolton. Well, the first thing you've got to do is take a very deep breath and then read and read as much as you can and get a handle on all the different characters and the voice of the narrator and so on. Dickens, it's pretty monumental stuff. It's big and it's long and the sentences are long and the ideas are long as well. But the characters are written so richly that it kind of does the work for you. And if you just open yourself to it and try to get into the head of each character and behind the eyes, you know, hopefully, that the end result is good. Joe Reed. How familiar were you with David Copperfield before you narrated it? Nick Bolton. Reasonably. I mean, I think I read it at school, but a long, long time before, and there have been various adaptations of it done on screen and in various ways. This was, of course, before the latest movie version, which I think is absolutely brilliant. Joe Reed. I do, too. I think it's wonderful. You know, what I find interesting is that with an audiobook, you as a narrator have to read every single word, whereas a filmmaker needs to get the heart of the book. Much of the book is obviously cut, but it's the heart of the book that counts. Did you work with the director? Nick Bolton. Yes, Roy McMillan was my director. We recorded all of this. It feels like filming because the images are so rich, but we recorded it all in a little studio that sadly no longer exists up in North London, out in the back garden in this little cubicle, a soundproof cubicle. It took us, I think, about 11 days to complete it, and Roy would sit down and follow all my words and make sure he picked me up if I ever made a fluff or a mistake or whatever, and give me occasional kind nudges in a different direction for the actual performance. And we worked together, I think, very well, and I'm hoping that the end product shows that. Joe Reed. Oh my God, I think it's brilliant, and I love that book. And that leads me to my next question, because how do you take a character that's known, like a David Copperfield, or you recently played Sherlock Holmes for an Audible production. So how do you take characters like that? Characters who people are coming to with a certain opinion about them. Does that impact the way you approach the material? Nick Bolton. Well, strangely enough, not at all. Because, I mean, you clearly can't please everyone. So I think the way I approach it is be true to the ideas and the feelings that are provoked within me. And if I do that, hopefully that'll communicate to the listener. And that's all you can do, really. You know, if you start worrying about what other people will think about various characters, also it's dangerous to fill yourself with too many references. For example, I think, oh, who was it played Micawber originally in the old movie? Joe Reed. W.C. Fields. Nick Bolton. W.C. Fields. Thank you. I was hunting for the name, of course. W.C. Fields playing Micawber was absolutely phenomenal. But If you have that idea in your head while you're trying to narrate it, then you're on a hiding for nothing. Joe Reed. Well, you certainly did not imitate W.C. Fields at all. Though I have to say, as I was listening to you, a sort of pared-down physical image of him was running through my mind. Nick Bolton. Yeah, quite. I mean, there is resonance there, you know, and you can't escape that because he was lodged in my head. But you've got to try and distance yourself from it and be more true to the characterizations as you see them and as you feel them. Joe Reed. David Copperfield is written in the first person, and I wonder if that presents a set of challenges because you have David within the story and you also have David telling the story. Nick Bolton. That's true. It's another character. It's fascinating. Just thinking about how the book opens, the memories of childbirth by the baby who was being born. He goes through an incredible journey in all the different ways, physically and spiritually and mentally and everything from start to finish. And he's very engaging, and I love how the perspicuity of his observations is just magnificent. Joe Reed. I completely agree. It's so clear that Dickens likes that boy, and I think we come away seeing him in all his faults. He's hardly one-dimensional, but he's so likable, and Dickens's secondary characters are so vividly drawn. Was it tricky deciding on those voices? Nick Bolton. It's not too tricky to decide on them because the way they're written. You know, it's done for you, so as long as you have the acrobatic equipment to deliver it, you shouldn't get into too much trouble. The biggest problem is keeping a handle on them. There are so many characters, you need to keep a handle on who is who, and of course, that's where your producer can help, playing you back samples of what you did a few days before, and so on. And this is where prep is really important. If you place one character and then discover there's another character that is closer to that placement later on in the book, then you've thrown yourself a curveball. So you need to read ahead and know who's coming up and where to position them all relative to each other. Joe Reed. Well, as we've said, the book begins with the child narrating his birth, and he moves through childhood, through adolescence, through young adulthood, into middle age, and your voice has to reflect those changes as well. Nick Bolton. Well, listening back to myself, my voice was quite a lot younger than it is now. I've aged considerably in the last few years, but you need to be flexible enough. I think the key, especially when you're doing an audiobook, is not to push it too far. But at the same time with Dickens, there are very broad characters in there. Joe Reed. Well, Micawber is like the blusterer of all time, and his emotions catapult within a sentence. Did you have fun with him? Nick Bolton. Oh, a huge amount of fun. Huge. You can't not have fun with Micawber. He's such a wonderful, tragic, comic character. And he speaks truth. But it's so beautifully written and so funny. The difficulty is restraining yourself from laughing while you're recording it. Joe Reed. Mr. Peggotty is also somebody who, like Micawber, in the sense of that he's very broad character, but he has deep, deep sensibilities, so that I think you really wouldn't want to play up the broadness too much. Nick Bolton. Sure. I mean, he has a broad Suffolk accent there and a maritime flavor to him as well, but again, as you said, Dickens creates subsidiary, supplementary characters who are so human as well, and if you push them too far to the extreme, then you lose the human quality of those natures. And that concludes our Behind the Mic with Nicholas Bolton. So let's turn our attention back to our reviews in fiction. We start out with an earphones winner. And as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review in fiction today is Black Buck by Matteo Ascaripur. It's an earphones winner read by Zeno Robinson. What if one day a spontaneous decision plucked you from obscurity and challenged you to pursue a whole new life? In this audiobook, Darren provides his account of the exact experience. Zeno Robinson's narration is outstanding. He sounds likable and real, with the warm voice of a friend and the brisk pacing of an effective leader. When Darren leaves his barista job for a sales position at an internet company, he finds himself the only one of color in his entire office, and this is just the start of his story. Robinson's confident delivery deftly captures the absurdity lurking in the contemporary workplace and spotlights the importance of discussions on diversity. This is an excellent performance of an appealing audiobook. Leslie Fine wrote that review of Black Buck by Matteo Ascaripur. It's an earphones winner read by Zeno Robinson, and it's available from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt for 11.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in fiction is A Thousand Ships. It's written and read by Natalie Haynes. This audiobook retells the events of the Trojan War from an all-female perspective. How much epic poetry does the world really need? The muse Calliope wonders in the opening chapters. She is exasperated by the endless barrage of male poets and their tales of glorious battles. What follows is a collection of wonderfully creative feminist stories written and narrated by classicist Natalie Haynes. Haynes's performance is restrained to the point that some listeners may wish for more dramatic flair from and differentiation between characters. However, she still imbues these underrepresented female characters with humanity, wit, and strength. She has a good range, too. Some stories, especially those of the Trojan women, are emotionally wrenching. Others, like Penelope's increasing frustrated letters to Odysseus, have a distinct comedic touch. Andy Northrup wrote that review of A Thousand Ships, written and read by Natalie Haynes. It's available from Harper Audio for 8.5 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a reminder that you are listening to Audiophile Magazine's April-May issue. It's the magazine that wants you, your kids, and your teens to discover the world of audiobooks. Continuing now with our reviews in fiction, we have The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr., read by Karen Chilton, and it's an earphones winner. Narrator Karen Chilton's stunning performance increases the power of this important debut novel about the far-reaching effects of the love between two male slaves on a Mississippi plantation. In chapters named for books of the Bible, this audiobook exposes the myriad perspectives of slaves and masters, detailing moments of almost unimaginable brutality, hopelessness, and fear, juxtaposed with snatches of beauty and love in the plantation's closed community. Drawing on the tradition of giving testimony, Chilton's delivery conveys the personal experiences of the fully developed characters, the collective spiritual and cultural African past of the slaves, and the universality of human emotions and dreams. Author Robert Jones imagines a unique scenario for the long-standing place of queerness in some traditional Black African cultures. Candace Levy wrote that review of The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr. It's an earphones winner read by Karen Chilton, and it's available from Penguin Audio for 15 hours unabridged. Our next review is Pink Mountain on Locust Island by Jamie Marina Lau, an earphones winner read by Emily Wu Zeller. Emily Wu Zeller hypnotically mingles edgy tones with sultriness in this noir-style debut by 20-year-old Australian Jamie Marina Lau. Zeller gives a solid portrayal of Monk, the straightforward 15-year-old Asian protagonist and her unembellished view of the world. Juxtaposing velvety tones with moments of sharpness, Zeller brings out the intensity of visceral descriptions that capture the teen's experiences of both warmth and disquieting disappointment. Zeller mimics the narrative's staccato rhythm, successfully revealing the protagonist's chaotic life with her schemer father amid the hustle of Chinatown. Zeller's powerful performance adds texture to the story, making for an absorbing listening experience for those who enjoy coming-of-age narratives. Maya Fleischman wrote that review of Pink Mountain on Locust Island by Jamie Marina Lau. It's an Earphones winner, read by Emily Wu Zeller, and it's available from Brilliance Audio for 4.5 hours of unabridged listening. That's the end of our reviews in fiction, but now we have reviews in classics and drama, and we start out with Le Mort d'Arthur. It's written by Sir Thomas Malory, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Bill Homewood. Some of the words in this classic of early modern English will be unfamiliar, but Bill Homewood's deep, resonant voice carries the stories of King Arthur and his knights. He doesn't create distinctive voices for all the many knights and damsels, but the author did little to make them more than types. Arthur, Guinevere, Lancelot, and a few others are closer to being characters in the modern sense, and Homewood fleshes them out accordingly. Those who know only the more recent versions of the Arthurian saga may be surprised at how much has been left out, but the material is vast, and even Malory left out some of it, such as the end of the story of Tristram and Isolde. David Harris wrote that review of Le Mort d'Arthur by Sir Thomas Malory, an Earphones winner, read by Bill Homewood. It's available from Naxos Audiobooks for 38 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in fiction is The Year of Magical Thinking by Joan Didion, an Earphones winner, read by Vanessa Redgrave. Vanessa Redgrave's throaty contralto and famous hint of a quaver beautifully serve this brief dramatization of Joan Didion's memoir about the year following her husband's sudden death. Redgrave starred in the stage version, and her intimacy with the material highlights the eloquence of Didion's writing and the agony of the emotions portrayed. Didion was in her 70s when she wrote the book. Redgrave is in her mid-80s, yet the perceptible age of Redgrave's voice enhances the play's themes of the fragility of life and the tenaciousness of hope, even if hope is just a form of magical thinking that enables you to move forward. Redgrave intermingles silences with gently crooning, a steely rasp with breathy bewilderment, delivering a memorable paean to shock and survival. Aurelia Scott wrote that review of The Year of Magical Thinking by Joan Didion. It's an Earphones winner, read by Vanessa Redgrave, and it's available from Audible Inc. for 1.5 hours as an audio program. Our next review is Joy in the Morning by Betty Smith, read by Maggie Meg Reed, and it's an Earphones winner. Maggie Meg Reed's versatile narration envelops listeners in this classic story about the first year of marriage in the early 20th century. The narrative begins when Annie leaves Brooklyn to marry Carl and settle in the Midwest, when Carl is attending law school. Annie is an enormously appealing character, made even more so by Reed's evocative performance. Her curiosity, charm, and independence come through in Reed's inviting tone and light Irish accent. Reed portrays Carl and the varied secondary characters with distinct expression and nuanced vocal mannerisms. While often nostalgic feeling, the audiobook contains a modern element with its frank depictions of sexuality. Whether this is a first or a repeat listen, This classic audiobook is a joy at any time of the day. Michelle Ritholtz wrote that review of Joy in the Morning by Betty Smith. It's an Earphones winner, read by Maggie Meg Reed, and it's available from Harper Audio for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next in Classics and Drama, we have a review of The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, read by Sean Astin. This interpretation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's 1925 masterpiece by narrator Sean Astin adds new layers of pathos and empathy to the classic story. As portrayed by Astin, young Nick Carraway reveals his entanglement with the mysterious and eclectic millionaire Jay Gatsby in a youthful timbre and naive tone. Astin also adds new insight into the tragic love story between Daisy Buchanan and Gatsby, and he shines while describing the roaring 20s decadent parties and Gatsby's unrequited love and inevitable end. Astin's interpretation gives Gatsby's loss new emotions. Nailing the iconic ending, Astin channels Nick's longing to comprehend what has happened to him. Randy O'Brien wrote that review of The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, read by Sean Astin. It's available from Dreamscape for 5.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next today in Classics and Drama, we have Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, adapted by A.S. Peterson and read by a full cast. Reanimating the Dead, Shunning the Living Result, Terrible Revenge. By combining radio drama sound effects and performance styles with novelistic descriptive passages, this 2018 stage adaptation brings a theatrical energy and immediacy to Shelley's classic horror tale. A scientist's relentless search for immortality leads to mankind's loss of innocence and the dawn of the age of technology. Portraying the Doctor and his creation, Jarrett Reinfeldt and Euryamus Losada lead the cast of Nashville's Studio Tennessee Theater Company in capturing the destructive pathos between the two characters as they bring out the most horrific and most human qualities in each other. That is most likely why, even after 200 years, we listeners just can't get enough of Frankenstein. Brian Price wrote that review of the 2021 Audie's finalist Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, adapted by A.S. Peterson and read by a full cast. It's available from Oasis Audio for 2 hours as an audio program. Next, we have The Happy Prince and Other Stories by Oscar Wilde. It's an Earphones winner, read by Simon Jones. With a gentleman's grace and a finely tuned ear for character voices, narrator Simon Jones does a wonderful job bringing to life this collection of children's fairy tales by one of the English language's greatest wits. Expanding on the original 5 stories first published in 1888, this collection adds 7 other gems, including the beguiling Canterville Ghost, which gives Jones a chance to exercise a few of his comic American accents. Although written for children, Oscar Wilde's unique twists on children's literature are a little edgier, a bit more playful, a trifle wiser, and a lot more fun than your average fairy tale fare. And with Simon Jones at the helm, the whole production is nothing less than enchanting. Brian Price wrote that review of The Happy Prince and Other Stories by Oscar Wilde. It's an Earphones winner, read by Simon Jones. It's available from Allison Larkin Press for 7.5 hours unabridged. Next, we have Alexander Pushkin, Egyptian Nights and Other Tales of Imagination and Romance, by Alexander Pushkin, read by Stefan Rudnicki, and it's an Earphones winner. Stefan Rudnicki splendidly narrates this collection by the Russian author Pushkin, who is best known for his sublime poetry. Indeed, in Russia, he is more than a bit of a cult figure. His fiction is not as well known, but this collection of some of his best stories is an excellent introduction. Consisting of selections from his Tales of Belkin, his novella The Queen of Spaces, and other works, this collection gives great insight into human and Russian society. As in previous productions, Rudnicki is perfect. Pacing, inflection, and enunciation are spotless. His deep, resonant voice is a perfect match of voice and text. It has been years since this reviewer has heard or read some of these works, and it's a joy to hear Rudnicki present them so wonderfully. Michael Fine wrote that review of Alexander Pushkin, Egyptian Nights, and Other Tales of Imagination and Romance by Alexander Pushkin, an Earphones winner read by Stefan Rudnicki, available from Blackstone Audio for 8 hours unabridged. Next in classics and drama, we have Extinction by Hanny Rayson. It's an Earphones winner read by Seamus Deaver, Sarah Drew, Darren Richardson, and Joanne Whaley. With bright-sounding innocence, Sarah Drew portrays an American zoologist working in Australia who makes the discovery of a lifetime when she finds that the endangered carnivorous marsupial, the tiger quoll, may still exist in the wild. However, to save the species, she may have to make a deal with the devil, a timber baron portrayed by American actor Seamus Deaver, who sports a fine Australian accent. The dialogue is quick and intimate, and the drama down to earth as science wrestles with industry and the characters realize that battling climate change and saving the environment may end up being just as messy and personal as any other human endeavor. This is another engaging production of the best in contemporary theater from LA Theater Works. Brian Price wrote that review of Extinction, written by Hanny Rayson, read by Seamus Deaver, Sarah Drew, Darren Richardson, and Joanne Whaley, and it's available from LA Theater Works for 2 hours of unabridged listening. Well, that's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when you'll hear our editor's picks of the most intriguing audiobook releases for April and May. We'll follow that with reviews in one of our most popular audiobook areas, mystery and suspense. So until then, thanks for listening.